there last, but Belinda, you know, so I imagine she didn't expect you to.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, Gruden song!
If you're resident, map of the South!
Let's do this!
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you could join me tonight.
He has a very limited time slot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm gonna make a do with a do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Why, you beady-eyed.
The upper room.
It's the Jay Rowe Show coming up next on the TJRS.
No, Jay. We've got this. Come on, ladies. Let's show them what we're working with.
I think that I'm in love.
All right, everybody, it's time to start the weekend right by hanging out with the lovely ladies of Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network, a life show for everyone. Is your resident, Map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas with Rich Sister and Dr. Princess Odelia. Here we go again. Another closet racist has been revealed. The Clippers owner, Donald Sterling, has stepped in it neck deep, calling black people out, talking about he supports his black team by giving them clothes, food, and houses. The really bad part? His girlfriend is part black. We want to know, should he be removed as an NBA owner, or should his black team be allowed to keep making him money? We have our fitness and health tip and our inspirational corner as well. So, let's do this!
Hey, man, I can do anything you like. I can do anything you need. As I got a better body, than a magazine to read. Nothing else but what you want. First thing about your fantasy. And if they try, they cannot do it just like me.
I know you.
Nothing lasts forever. No one lives forever. The flower that fades and dies. Winter passes and spring comes. Embrace the cycle of life that is the greatest love. Go beyond fear. Go beyond fear. Beyond fear takes you into the place where love grows. When you refuse to follow the impulses of fear, anger, and revenge. Beyond means to feel yourself.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show with your host, Dr. Princess Odelia, the Queen of Inspiration.
Last week on part one with Dawn Robinson.
Now, you had, as a result of everything that you've been through, mm-hmm. which you've been through a lot, and you people have driven to their own conclusions.
Yes.
But I see it that you have been one that has actually, you have stood through the test of time, and you have made some very courageous moves in the midst of what we all, as your fans and public eye, we see the height of your career.
Yes, yes.
You've taken the stand to say, you know what? I've got to let this go.
Yes.
And
yes.
There are so many people that are, like, really in their journey, and they cannot let it go. So what would you say that your biggest reward has been for letting go in your journey?
Goodness, there's so many rewards, but the biggest one, I think, is learning about who I am and what I will and won't tolerate. You know, my mom is the first person that I ever saw make a huge, bold move in my life, and that's a great example. I mean, it's your mother, so of course I learned from that, but she moved my sister and I. We left a very small, our hometown was New London, Connecticut. It's like 2 hours away from New York. My father had moved out here to Los Angeles, and I don't think she followed him, but she came out because she knew he was not too far away. But we moved to the Bay Area, which was San Francisco Bay Area, which is a six-hour drive from my father. At the time, my mom just said enough.
Yes, yes. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We are continuing our discussion with Dawn Robinson, taking on the tabloids with the truth about her life and journey. Last week was a great show. Part one has received rave reviews, and people are excited to hear, finally, the truth about Dawn Robinson. Today, we're going to continue our discussion, and we will have discussions about what is Dawn Robinson doing today. This is awesome. We're going to hear some great and fantabulous music from In Vogue, Lucy Pearl, and also from her solo debut. And don't forget, later on in the show, we've got The Moment to Be by Barbara Hofmeister and also The Moment of Inspiration by yours truly. Later on, I know that you are going to love this show, so get on the phone, call all of your neighbors, friends, and even your enemies. Yes, because everyone desires to live a life of true purpose and to be inspired. So get on the phone right now. Have them to call 718-766-4227. 718-766-4227. We'll take a break. But before we get started, I need to share with you the latest news from our key sponsor, the nonprofit organization Bountiful Opportunities Group, the home of the Global World Peace True Purpose Movement, and the Global Transformation Tour. Currently, we are planning to launch 4 BG True Purpose Centers in the U.S., Nigeria, Onitsha, and Abuja, and the U.K. Coming up tours for this year with final detail to follow. October, we are planning to be in London. In November, we will be stopping by Washington, and we, meaning the True Purpose team, will be hosting our annual 3-day transformation tour in the movement's home, Detroit, Michigan. Already planning for next year, 2012, you know, the year that people say that it's over. Well, we don't believe so. So we're already planning to host an event in Chicago as our 2012 kickoff, and in May, we will be in Abuja, Nigeria, and there's more to come. So to become a part to the Global World Peace True Purpose Movement and the Global Transformation Tour, for more information, I want you to be sure to contact us online at bountifulgroup.com. Okay, so that's all for the latest news for today. And without further delay, we are going to get right on with our show right after this song break by none other than our special guest, Don Robinson. And tonight, we're going to start off with one from her debut solo album. It's entitled Envious.
You know, the sun's ain't just don't change. Started rumors spreading lies about me. Tried to decompose my name. See the shady sister, baby, watch me. I got shady niggas getting next to me. Try to get inside my head, see what I'm about. Thinking I'm an easy prey and they can talk me out. But I tell them no. I'm trying to be all I can be. Kind of funny cause they keep talking trash about me, they know nothing about me. So tell me why is everybody so envious? You know that envy never dies. Need to bring up a member about yourself, not the way I live my life. By the moves I make, I ain't afraid to take a chance. I'm even envious cause I can't be stopped. Even envious about my fame. While they're busy talking, I just keep on walking cause it doesn't mean a thing. Even sisters don't say me, break my bones, but the words will never hurt me cause I let it go.
Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. Here's Dr. Princess Odelia.
Wow. was the turning point that brought you back to En Vogue today, where you are touring, but it's in a different light because you are doing so much today. Yeah. And I must say, as a result of everything that you've been through and everything that you've accomplished so far, what it reunited En Vogue with Dawn Robinson today.
Well, that I want.
How are you different?
I brought that up. Thank you. Because a lot of people say, oh, she's so difficult, she's a problem. You know, there's a lot of hearsay, a lot of talk, and nobody knows the facts at all. The only people that know the facts are the four of us. But I always say to people, if I was so difficult, then why do the girls ask me to come back? They asked me to come back, and I was so grateful because I look at them the same way they look at me. They needed me to come back because they needed certain things that the four original members could only do. The promoters were asking for the four original members to do certain shows. We had our 20-year anniversary, which only included the four original girls.
Wow.
It wasn't including Rona or the other girl, Amanda. And so while they did a great job, some of the things that we have to do now as the four of us only included the four original members. So, it included me. And I was grateful for that. So they had their manager, Brooke Payne, who also was managing, had managed back in the day, New Edition. He was Ronnie's uncle. So, you know, he was managing the girls, and he reached out to me and said, you know, the girls want you to come back. There's a few things that are on the table that include you. And they, you know, and I said, well, are you sure they want me back, or is it you that's asking me, Brooke? Because I wanted to be that we love, you know, they love me and that they want me back. I know they love me, but, and I love them. But he said, no, they all want you back, and, you know, they see opportunities here that only you can bring with them, the four of you together. And I said, wow, this is a beautiful opportunity, and I see the light, and I'm good, and I'll come back. So I needed them, and they needed me, and it worked out.
Wow.
You know, we're sisters. I mean, more than anything, we have our differences, and, you know, we have disagreements, just like real sisters and real family members, okay?
That's right.
A lot of times, I always say to people, you need to forgive because you don't know what will happen to that person if you don't speak to your mom or you don't speak to your sister again or your father and you have a falling out. And, you know, no, he needs to learn his lesson. And I don't talk to my brother. I haven't talked to him in 3 or 4 years. I'm like, that's family, though.
That's right.
And if I can forgive and the girls can forgive me and we can go through this thing together and get past whatever differences we have, you need to really look at that as, you know, take that as an example. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of times, we don't have those opportunities because if something was to happen to your mother, sister, brother, cousin, or even coworker, you'll never forgive yourself. So it's
wow.
Not, you know, so
wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, and even now I haven't gotten out some of the stuff to the public. They don't know all the details about what happened, and I'm really angry that some of the stuff that was said wasn't true, but it was out there. Maxine admitted to me one time not too long ago, like last year, that, you know, some of the stuff that's out there is because they put it out there. That I left because I wanted to go solo from En Vogue. No, that was hardly the truth. Not at all. I did have a deal on the table, but I was still in En Vogue, and I was still willing to do whatever it took to make sure that we had,
right.
You know, within the contract for En Vogue, our initial contract from 1989 when we first signed, each of us has a solo right in that deal. So it wasn't like I was doing something off the chain or like Dawn just wants to be a diva and go solo. It wasn't that at all. But I was just tired of being broke. I was tired of the 2 pennies per girl, and I know I'm jumping around, so I apologize. But
No, you are fine.
Thank you. So we were making 2 pennies per girl, and I was tired of that. I was tired of us not standing up for ourselves, and everybody else was making the money, and here we are making barely anything. You can imagine, 2 pennies don't give you very much.
That's right, and you're stars of the world.
Exactly, and doing our thing. And, you know, not that we were stars, but anybody that works hard at what they do needs to get paid. I don't care if you're, you know, 14-year-old kid shoveling snow off people's sidewalks. You know, you want to get paid, and you want to get paid well. So that's where I was with that. And I just saw, like I said, you know, The Brat and other artists that were coming up, like, whoa, you're making money. Wait a minute. This is not okay. What happened with us that we're not making money? There's a problem here.
Wow.
And that's one of the reasons that I came back, too, because the girls understood what I was trying to say then. They understood that we can have that opportunity now. You know, and I'm talking 3 years ago when they asked me to come back. And so, like, okay, great, we're all on the same page now. Took a long time to get here. And I am pissed because I have the stigma of the world thinking that it was my fault that I left the group just because I wanted to be, again, like a diva. And it was not that at all.
Well, you know what? The bottom line is this. Honestly, if that were the case, and it was not, but if it were the case, then you are entitled at that time to make the choice that, that you wanted and to do what you wanted to do at that given moment. So if that were, then whatever people are choosing to say or choosing to accuse you of, we are our own individuals, and at any given time, we can make whatever choice we choose that would be befitting for our personal lives. Because guess what? If you're not happy, you together with Invogue is not going to be a great situation because are unhappy, and it's not complete.
But
so,
that's the thing, though, Odelia. This is the thing, though. We had a contract. I was still in a contract with Invogue. I couldn't just walk away. Yes, I had a deal on the table with Duxie. When Terry did her solo album, Sylvia Roan from our label, Atlantic, well, at the time it was, it had, we started with Atlantic, then we went to East West with her, and then she came back to Elektra. So we went all over the place with Sylvia Roan. But she had a deal. Let's see. I was still in Invogue. She was supposed to do my solo album just like she did Terry. She came to us to do solo albums. And to this day, that's what Cindy and Terry, Cindy and Maxine, are very upset with me about, because they felt like I betrayed them, where I didn't betray them. We had a deal on the table. Okay. Ooh, the history is this. We had a deal on the table with As In Vogue to, we were supposed to go in and do our album As In Vogue. Terry decided that she wanted to go in by herself and do the, what was supposed to be the En Vogue album became her Southern Gal album. It's called Southern Gal. That's her solo album. So when she did that, it was a divided group. We were three on one side and one on the other. We didn't sign as a group. We didn't sign as the three of us and one of her. We signed as a group together, so we couldn't make any moves without Terry.
Mm.
But Cindy and Maxine and I were trying to do things without her, and it just wasn't working. So there became an opportunity that Sylvia Roan came to me again, divide and conquer. I was stupid enough to say, oh, well, if Terry did her solo album, Sylvia wants me to do my solo album, the three of us, Cindy and Maxine and I, can't make a decision on what we want to do. There was a deal on the table. I think it was LaFace. Let me think. It was LaFace. So there was a deal on the table with LaFace for, oh, gosh, I think it was $9 million. It was fully indemnified, which means to fully be protected, all the way around, 100%, that if anything should happen and the label comes to us, Sylvia Roan comes to us and says she wants to sue us, that she would not be able to because we were fully protected. Our deal was null and void. It was, it's such a horrible deal that in any court of law, I even went out and I hired the attorney, Donald Passman, who, if anybody in the inside or any independent artist knows, the book called All You Need to Know About the Music Business. He wrote that book. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to explain to the girls where they understand it, and they're going to get it, and they're going to understand perfectly well that we will not get sued by Sylvia Roan. We are so fully protected that there's nothing she can do to hurt us. There's no harm to come to Invogue. We are okay, and everything's fine. And it, and when he told them that on the phone, we did a conference call, and he told them, yes, you guys, you're perfectly okay. There's nothing Sylvia can do. She can't sue you. The girls still decided, okay, and Cindy, this is more Cindy than the rest of us because she felt like her husband would be sued as well if we were to take that deal and something happened. And there was a, he said there's a 1% chance that you can be sued, but there's a 99% chance that you won't be sued. And Cindy looked at the 1% chance and said, I don't want to take that chance.
Wow.
I want to be sure that I'm sure that I'm sure. And I said, in the meantime, my life is going by, and Sylvia has offered me, and that's when she came in and offered me the deal, and I took the deal. Just like Terry had done, because Terry's album, by the time Sylvia came to me to offer me a deal to do a solo album, Terry's album was already finished. She had already put, she's promoting it. She was on the road. So she had had a first single done and everything. So that's why I took that deal. That was a solo deal with Sylvia. Then that fell through because Sylvia wasn't serious about it. She just wanted to divide me up and have me sitting there on hold. She didn't really take it serious that I was going to do a solo album. So that's when I told her to let me go, and then I signed to Dr. Dre, and then the history of that went on and on and on and on.
On and on.
So I'm getting it all together. Like, if I was to do a book right now, all this stuff comes out. That's why it's hard for me to do a book, because I get stuck on one thing, and I'm like, no, wait, that didn't happen then. The Lucy Pearl thing happened in 99 to 2000. That was just a year. So in between me leaving in 97, what was I doing? And that's what the process was. I had a solo deal with Sylvia. That fell through because she wasn't serious about it. She just wanted to take me off the market and have me sitting there on hold while she made the other two wait as well. And then she came back and said, okay, we're going to do the En Vogue album, which became, she came to us with the single, Don't Let Go. That's for the soundtrack, Set It Off soundtrack. And then she came to Terry and I to do our solo albums, and basically she kept baiting me. Oh yeah, Dawn, that's a good song, go ahead and I'll give you another little budget to go in the studio and do a recording budget to do some more songs. And really I did about 10 songs, and she was like, no, we're going to go back in and do En Vogue's album. What? Wait a minute.
After all of that work.
Yeah, you put Terry's album out, but you're telling me that you're not going to do mine? Oh no, hell no. So I decided that I told her, you're going to let me go from this label as a solo artist, but I will fulfill my obligation with En Vogue, and we finished what became the EV3 album. So I did my due diligence. I did exactly what I had to do. I did not put anything before En Vogue. I was obligated to them, and I finished my fulfilled my obligation with them. And
wow.
She knew that. I knew that. The girls didn't know that. They didn't know what was going on. And it wasn't their business. Terry didn't tell us her business about her solo album. She did what she had to do.
You said, and you are your own independent woman.
Exactly. I love you so much. I swear, Princess, I do. I think you're amazing because you get it. I don't have to say that you're kissing my butt or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Understand.
Definitely.
You totally, totally, thoroughly understand exactly what I'm saying. I was obligated. My deal was between Sylvia Rohn and I, but I was in the studio every single day with the girls. That's all they knew. And that's all I had to tell them. I'm here, and I'm accounted for. I'm being accountable to you guys because I'm obligated to this En Vogue album. This is what we're doing together, and this is the only thing you guys have to know about. As long as I'm here and I'm on time and I show up on time with you guys and I'm doing the songs and my part on – like, I sang on, of course, I sang the lead for Don't Let Go, but I did, you know, oh, gosh, I think I did the lead on Right Direction, one of those songs that ended up on the En Vogue album. They took my lead vocals off.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she took my lead. So she, like I said, we had an obligation together, and she knew that. The girls didn't know that, but all they knew was I was in the studio with them, and that's all they had to know. As long as I'm here, you guys, I'm on time, hey, let's do an album. And I was there for them, and we had a great time recording that album. So when she found out that I didn't want to do, when I told her that I wanted to, how did it end up? Oh, she came to me. She asked me to come to a meeting with the girls. It was supposed to be a creative meeting. This album is finished. We're just about done with it. We maybe have, I think at the time we had maybe two more songs to do. You know, what's going to be, it was kind of a creative meeting. What is going to be our first single? What is going to be our look this time out? You know, who's going to be our first, you know, video director for our first single? What is our whole theme of this album going to be? And when I got there, I was late for the meeting, so I called Terry from the hotel room because I didn't even have a cell phone. At the time, nobody really had cell phones. And I called Terry and I said, Terry, I'm going to be late. She's like, okay. And usually her and I will play around with each other. Dawn, hurry up. Why are you late? You're always late. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But she was real cold and short with me. And I was like, whoa, something's up. And I got to the meeting. I went to ballet. It was at a hotel, in Terry's hotel room. And when I got there, I gave my keys to ballet, and I got there, and it was Sylvia Rohn. And I knew she was going to be there and the other girls, but it was also our label heads, the heads of our label. No. Sylvia Rohn was the head of our label. It was our management. And, okay, they're here, but what are the attorneys doing here?
Oh, wow.
That's strange. Exactly. And I kind of sat there because they were talking, in the process of talking when Terry answered the door, and she didn't say anything to me when she answered it. She just walked away. And I walked in, closed the door behind me. Okay, what is this? I go, hey, Sylvia. Hey, Dawn, we're in the middle of a conversation, so just have a seat. Okay. And Maxine was sitting to the right of me on the floor, and I was sitting in a chair. Cindy was sitting on the couch with Sylvia. It was a long couch. It was Terry on the end of the couch, sitting up on the arm of the couch facing Cindy, who was next to her. And then Sylvia was in the middle, and then somebody else on the end. I can't remember now. And then our attorneys were on the right in the back, though, and I kind of waved to them. And our management nodded, Alan Kovac at the time, he nodded his head, hey, Dawn. And I said, hey, everybody. And
So, yeah, Dawn, we're in the middle of a conversation. So, you know, basically, we don't want any... Now, Sylvia's from New York, so I'm kind of got to mock her now. But, you know, Dawn, we don't want anyone to have any hidden agendas. And so, you know, we want to know that you're on board with everything and that, you know... And I said, well, Sylvia, you know that I'm on board. I'm in the studio with everyone. Yeah, we know that, but, you know, you also have a solo deal and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, yeah, I do, and you know that too. But right now I'm here with you guys. I've been recording, and so it hasn't been a problem. My obligation, and actually I think that deal was the Dr. Dre deal. My obligation, he knows that I have to fulfill this obligation with you first. So there's no discrepancy here. I'm not blocking anything. And Dr. Dre is not in the way, and so this is how it's going, and everything's fine. And I don't know why you have a problem, but, you know, I'm here and everything's fine. And she's like, no, we need a two-year obligation. We need a two-year commitment. That's what she said.
Wow.
And I was just shaking my head, like, and I had a text. I had texted. That's what it was. I had a beeper at the time. This is how long ago it was, and I had a pager. And I kept paging my boyfriend, like, something's wrong. You got to get my attorney, my manager on the phone. I'm going to meet her meet you at her house because something's up, and it's a bad scene, and something's going on, and they want me to fulfill an obligation that I don't even know about. And she said, well, here, you take this. Sylvia Rohn handed me a contract, and I said, Sylvia, so you want me to sign this? She said, yes, you sign this now, because we don't need any hidden agendas. I said,
oh,
I don't have a hidden agenda. You know about my deal. And Terry said, well, you know, we don't know about your deal. And I said, well, Terry, why is it different for you to do a solo album? I'll never forget, as clear as I'm sitting right here, right now on the phone with you, I said, why is it okay for you to do a solo album and for me not to do a solo album? And she turned to me and she said, it's just different, Dawn. That's it. It's just different. And I said, Terry, it's not different. Wow. No, it's not any different.
Oh, basically, you know what the difference? The difference is the power and the courage. It was so strong, they knew the possibility. Sometimes subconsciously, people can be just scared of the possibility.
Yeah, well then, you know, my thing is you gave us a solo obligation, and thank you for that. I appreciate it. But you gave us a solo obligation within the contract, and I'm just doing what my obligation says. I know it may be out of context because we should have had that. That third album for En Vogue would have hopefully put us over the top. But at the same time, and I told her in the meeting in front of the girls, Sylvia, you're sitting here saying that you're committing to us for 2 years, but what makes me think that your obligation, you're going to fulfill that obligation when you haven't done that this whole time? You were not behind the En Vogue album, the first Born to Sing album, exactly. You weren't behind that album. You were not behind it. You didn't like it. You thought Hold Up was a terrible single. So
our great producer,
can you imagine if we didn't do it just listening to her because she didn't like it? That would have been a tragedy. Then our producers got behind it and put up the money to promote it, and that's why it caught on to radio. And then the second album, she couldn't stand Born to Sing. She couldn't stand Funky Divas. But again, we called her on it. We got behind our producers, which is what I was telling the girls we need to do. Oh, God, okay. So we got behind our producers. They wanted us to hold off on giving the record to Sylvia Rohn, kind of hold out, you know, make her bite her nails. Like, where's the album, you guys? Because that first album was so successful. She wanted that second album, but she heard a few singles off of it and didn't like the second album either. So they told us, let's hold off on giving Sylvia the record, meaning our producers and us, the four of us, Terry, Cindy, Max, and Dawn, hold off on giving Sylvia that album until she can't take it anymore. And she was like, finally, look, you guys, I got to have that album. And they gave it to her. But it was last minute, and she took it, and that second album was bigger than the first. But that's what I told the girls. If we stood behind Denny and Talmy when they wanted us to stand down and not give that album to Sylvia Rohn and kind of make her bite her nails, and we were biding our time with her. We were biding our time. And so if we did that with them and we stood behind them, then we need to stand behind each other and not go into the studio and record with them, because we never, after your first album, when you're successful from your first album, you're supposed to go in and tear up that old contract and immediately renegotiate your first contract. And we never did that.
The business was just not in line.
It wasn't done. Exactly.
And you saw that.
We went in, exactly, well, everybody could see it. We went in, well, I should say everybody on the inside could see it. We went in under the first, we went in to do the second album under the first contract. we never went in and renegotiated for that second contract. So our advance, for instance, from the first contract was $40,000, $10,000 a piece for each girl. We were happy. I was so happy because I've never had that kind of money. I was coming out from doing clubs and little things locally, and here I am with $5,000 in my pocket from, you know, you get $5,000 up front, $5,000 when the album's finished. I was so happy. Each one of us were. But the second album, we got the same advance. Are you kidding me? $10,000 a piece, $40,000 overall? No way. That should have never happened. Our second, our advance for our second album should have been about $50,000 a piece or more.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And
for
so
sure.
Here we are on the second album, $10,000 a piece again. There's something wrong with this picture. And I started waking up like, whoa, hold on. And like I said, I started meeting other people and talking and having conversations with other artists. And just catching on, like, this is not right. This is, And so that's why when we decided that I told the girls, let's stand down with the guys. Let's stand down with Denny and Tommy because we need to renegotiate this contract. And our manager was managing Denny and Tommy, who are our producers at the time, Denzel Foster, Thomas McElroy. He couldn't stand with us because it was a conflict of interest, what they call a conflict of interest, meaning he was managing our producers as well as us. And it just was a messy situation. So he stood back. He said, I can't go in and renegotiate this second album with you guys. We never renegotiated the first one. But he said, you know, in this renegotiation, I can't stand side by side with you all as a group. And I can't stand side by side with Denny and Tommy either. I have to kind of stand back from the whole thing. But after it's over, can you guys rehire me? And I said, no, David. I was the only one again saying, David, look, if you're saying that you can't fulfill your obligation as a manager on our behalf, then who's going to stand with us? We have to watch out for ourselves. So Terry, Cindy, Max, this is what we have to do. No, Dawn, we don't want to do that. We love David. I love David, too. But David is telling us he can't protect us in this renegotiation. We have to get new management, someone that's going to stand by our side and won't have that. That conflict of interest is going to be there whether David's in our lives or not. If he still manages Denny and Tommy, it's going to be there. We have to get someone who's going to be neutral. And just have, I should say, who's going to have our back and not be neutral. Because David had to be neutral, yeah. So we had, and they were so upset with me and, you know, almost to the point of cussing me out, and we were crying on the phone, but we told David, you have to go. Reluctantly, they let him go, but when they got rid of me and I left the group in 97, they went back and rehired David, even knowing that it was a conflict of interest.
Wow. So you know, you know what? I'm telling you, as a result of...
It's so much, and I get on a tangent, so I apologize.
You are so okay. But you are going to write that book. You know that, right? That's totally in the plan for the universe, okay? That's what's been going on here. So we're going to leave something for the imagination. But fast forwarding right now today. Already 2010, you guys are on the cover of Jet Magazine. You're promoting your reunion tour, and you're doing some phenomenal things today. They've gotten involved in another contract, and you, yourself, though, you did not become a part of that, but you are working on other things as a part of the tour and also for Dawn Robinson, the independent, inspirational, courageous woman that you are today. What is Dawn Robinson doing today, and what do we have to look forward to for you?
Okay, let me put this shortly because you know I get long-winded, but the girls signed a contract with a label, an independent label by the name of Rough Town Records. When I saw the contract, I just thought, it's a joke. I'm not even going to take it seriously. I'm not even going to, you know, we're not even going to have a comment. Once they see the same thing, then we're not even going to bring it up again except to say, oh, it was a joke and we didn't sign it. But they did. They signed it. And I was like, you guys, I really think that you should rethink this whole thing. Don't sign that one. Let's wait until we have other opportunities on the table. I mean, that's what we're working towards. We've been on the cover of Jet, like you said, and the cover of USA Today, which is worldwide and like 13 billion people. Or 3 billion countries. It's something crazy. They read that newspaper. So let's just wait and let God bring us what we're supposed to have.
That's right.
As an opportunity instead of taking just what's there because we're desperate. I said, we're not desperate, first of all. We're on the road. we're making money.
That's right.
And Cindy's thing was, look, there are no other opportunities out there for us. I said, I know, Cindy, but let's just wait. Let's just hold out. You know, it's beneath us. This contract is just it's a joke. I think we can do much better than this. You guys, please don't do it. And they signed it anyway. And actually made a joke by sending an email saying, well, since Dawn isn't signing the contract with us, that we can take her money that she would have gotten, and we can split it between the three of us and get more money by doing it. And I was like, wow, you guys really think you could? And I sent a message to them very graciously because I was cussing them out in the email first.
You
to send a message like that and email me. You had to CC me for me to even see this email.
Yeah.
That was so rude. But it's okay. Take that money, you guys. And so I deleted all the stuff that I wanted to say, and I just basically said three lines. Wow. I said, I wish you guys the best. I understand that you wanted to sign that contract with Rough Town, but please understand why I didn't want to.
Right.
And I wish you guys the best. Wow. You know, the money that you're going to be getting is great money. So good luck to you guys. And I love, love, love you all. That's how I ended it. And I was like, Dawn, I'm proud of you because the things that you want.
Yes.
So anyway, I still just stood up with my head, you know, held high, and I just wish them the best. So come to find out 3 months later, the two girls, Maxine sent me an email first saying, Dawn, you were right. This contract is crap, and we may have to do some things to get out of it. We're not happy. But you were right, and I said, Max, I got to tell you, I told you so. And she said, yeah, you have the right to say that. I give you that because you did. You told, and I said, thank you for telling. You know, you didn't have to admit that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I would have been none the wiser. But she was very kind to, gracious enough to say, this is what's happening with us.
Wow.
And then the other two girls, a month after that, said outside of we were doing a fitting for some tops we were having made, and Maxine was in Virginia, so it was just the three of us, and we were coming out of the place, and they said, look, we got to tell you before you hear it, you know, in the press that the deal that we signed wasn't a good deal. I said, I know. Maxine already told me. They said, wow, we thought you would find out, but yeah, it's not a good deal, and we're frustrated, and you know, we're trying to see what we can do with this situation. We're trying to make the best out of a bad situation. Basically.
Wow.
But they signed it for the money, and I told them, you guys, we were never that desperate. I don't understand why you decided to take that little bit of money. And that deal, more than anything, because the money, once it's spent, you're looking at the contract, like, did it make sense for you to sign at this point in your career?
Right.
Did it make sense for you to sign a contract like that? No.
Because you're already at the top of the charts.
Well,
in all of our minds, in our minds,
yes.
You are at the top of the chart. In
yes.
Our minds, you are always going to be a legend. In
that
our minds, you are the stuff. And you know what? And so long as you continue to stand, it's such an example. And I want all of our listeners to understand this, that all people are people, regardless if you're a celebrity or not. And we all have the same responsibility of stand for ourselves. We have to stand up for what we know is truth.
Exactly.
And do not chase the dollars. You know what I always say? Dawn always say, when you're chasing dollars, they're running from you. Because you're chasing them. Don't chase them. Let the dollars come to you and go ahead and allow for the universe to bring its process to you. And when it comes and it's there for good and forever. So what are you doing now? I know you have like some appointments. You are like getting yourself all together. You've got some things going on. You were just in Detroit not long ago.
Yeah.
I did Philly
and Detroit Gay Pride, and I was so happy. Loved me.
Yeah.
I had a great time. I actually did a venue that and I did was in Vogue about 5 months ago in Philly. I think it's called the Penn Station or Penn. No, Penn Station is actually the railway station. Train station, but I did Penn's Landing. I think that's what the name of it is. And, you know, you're talking about 5,000 people. I was so proud of that because here I am thinking, I can't do this without the girls, and I was kind of thrown out there because my manager didn't do it right and set it up right. So here I am having to get a band together last minute. I didn't meet with the band prior, and I did those shows on my own, and I was so proud. So, and they
awesome.
Loved it. When they took me to the stage, it was my manager and one bodyguard.
But when I came off the stage, there was 7 bodyguards to meet me on the side of the stage because that's how much they loved the show, and I was so honored and did all these autographs, and I felt really, really proud of myself because I conquered a fear that I had getting up on stage once.
We'll be right back.
One month.
7 years.
10 years.
12 years.
15 years.
23 years.
30 years.
Our customers have been with us an average of 15 years, nearly half for more than 20. We give them an experienced staff, the financial help they want and need, and hundreds of branch and ATM locations. Most branches open Saturday.
40 years. Going on 41.
Comerica. We listen, we understand, we make it work.
Welcome to the Moment of Inspiration. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia. Listen. Life throws you a ton of balls, but you must decide which ones you'll catch. There are many of you that are holding on to things that you should let go. Not only such tangible things like relationships, cars, houses, and jobs, but also the intangible things in your life, like negativity, depression, hurt, adverse perspective, your thinking, poverty. Life gives us choices, the choice to hold or release, change or not. I invite you today to make a choice to hold or grab hold of the ball of happiness, openness, joy, prosperity, positive thinking, and the like. The other ones, well, I suggest that you drop them like a hot potato. Let's start right now. Simply, I want you to declare, I am happy, and I denounce depression. I am open to receive truth, and I denounce deception, and so on. Are you ready? It's your choice. This is your moment of inspiration with Dr. Princess Adelia, here with a mission to help you birth a life of true purpose. Are you fit for the journey to true purpose? Well, knowing is way more than half the battle. So I invite you to visit spiritualpregnancy.info, bountifulgroup.com, and princessadelia.com. Thanks for listening, and I love every last one of you.
Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. Here's Dr. Princess Odelia.
So coming up for you, I know there are some great and phenomenal things because we are so happy to have Dawn Robinson back on the scene. Totally transformed into this new, powerful spirit to shining. And we're excited about it. There is definitely more than meets the eye. So, So coming up for you, what do we have to look forward in the next coming months?
Oh, my God, there's so much going on. I have a show coming up in July 23rd, Playing for the Troops. I was very excited when I got this email because, you know, Playing for the Troops is just, it's honorable. I don't care where I have to go to do it. But last year, the girls went to Kuwait, and there was a discrepancy. There wasn't a discrepancy. I'm going to say straight up what it was. I was asking about my protection as far as Kuwait was concerned because when they sent us the paperwork, initially, there was a death warrant, meaning, if war should break out over here in Kuwait, we'd love to have Invoke over here, but when you guys are here, if something should happen, we can't guarantee that you're going to be protected. Should something happen to you, we'll send your body home to your parents in a box. We'll get your body home.
Thank you.
We can't say that you're going to be okay while you're here, that, nothing will happen. So
yeah.
I was like, hold on. Wait a minute. I was at Kinko's getting ready to send this paperwork to them, and I said, no, wait a minute. I have questions here. And Cindy's husband was asking questions, too, but they took it personal that I was asking questions and said that I was being unreasonable. And they went to Kuwait without me. They sure did. So I am so grateful that God brought back tenfold what the devil stole from me and gave me a show in Kentucky, playing at Fort Knox, Kentucky, for the troops. That's no lie. That's real. That just happened. And I'm grateful. So that show's coming up, and then also there's a couple of shows on the table, but they're not confirmed yet, but I'll just put it out there because I like to put stuff in the universe, and I think God, the universe comes together to make things happen when you put it out in the ether,
right,
as they say. So Africa, there's a show in Africa. They want me to come to Africa to do a show there, and then Vegas, Germany, Australia, and Rex, Georgia. There's a new venue in Rex, Georgia. So I was like, I'm honored. Please, wherever you guys want me to come to, I'm there. I'm also working on a reality show, and they're not filming yet, but they're putting it together for A&E called, it's a working title, so I won't even say the working title yet, because I don't like the title. I told them, and they were like, yeah, we're not happy with it either, we'll come up with others, and I send them different ideas, but A&E, they want me to do the show with four other women, five total, women that have been in the industry either as, an actress, a working actress, but may have fallen off a little bit and over the years isn't working as much as she'd like to. And what are the struggles with her as an actress trying to get back into a man-driven world as an actress, a black actress at that? What are the steps that are taken to get back on track? How do you get people to believe in you again as a singer coming from a group called En Vogue, as big as we were? Getting back on and having the world to believe in me, although they think that I'm the demise of Invo. Really difficult struggles that each of us have. Maybe a female DJ that may be big around the world but isn't working as much either, or a TV actress, a comedian. Just different women that are in the industry and going up against this glass ceiling that is like so impenetrable. We can't penetrate it. It's like you can't even imagine the struggles that we go through. And getting back on track, a happy story, but a very real one, because I can't stand looking at these reality shows and it's a bunch of mess. It's step and fetch it. It's embarrassing to us as black people. A lot of the stuff that they have on there, it's just like I cover my eyes and then I turn the channel eventually because I can't take it. Just some of the shows are just like, could we have just seen a better side of what is it like to be a basketball wife? Or even Flavor Flav. What are these women like who want to date this man? And what do you see in him that you think is so great that you'd rather be on a reality show? Like, they never showed who Flavor Flav is. I don't even know his real name. It's Daryl. But I want to get to know him. I want to get to know who Pep is. I would really have loved to know, Sandy. Who is she as a woman? And just hear what her story is, but we didn't see that, so we just saw her dating. So our show, I hope, I won't do it unless it's real, but, if you know, I want them to show the real side of what the struggles are as women, and also the happy side, the comedic side of, you know, one of these women and me, how I can be funny for certain things and how I kind of see life in different ways and stuff that you don't typically get to see with people that are in public, in the public eye, you know?
Wow.
And not just the bad stuff either.
Well, you know what? I don't think you'll have any problem with authenticity.
I really do.
Because that you are, and that's what makes you so genuine.
Oh, man.
And it shows forth how grounded and humble that you are in spite of all of the fame that you have accomplished. And the fortune that is now and also even more forthcoming. I know it is so for you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, we're speaking it into existence. And
it is.
Words have power. So I appreciate your words. I really do. And thank you for the time. You know, thank you for getting on with me and just letting me speak my piece. And although, again, I'm long-winded with it, happened. I try to cram, 20 years into a 30-minute or an hour conversation. It's not easy, okay? But
it's all good.
You know, it's real. It's what it is. It's my life. And like you said, a lot of people go through struggles. My life just happens to be public. So the kind of money that they decided that they wanted us to make was not okay with me, that 2 pennies per girl.
Yeah.
For someone else, it might be at a 9-to-5 job, and they're like, no, I'm not happy making, you know, $6 an hour or even $10 an hour, you know, or if they get a cut in pay, they're like having a fit, you know.
Right.
Hey, how about I'm doing the same job, but you guys want to cut my pay? That's not okay. It's not ever all right with me to have that. Everybody understands that. So when you put it that way, I really felt that when you said it, really. It hits home with a lot of people when they hear it. I'm sure it'll hit home with them.
Wow. Well, thank you so very much.
Thank
we
you.
We love you, love you, love you. As you can hear the applause in the background, it is there. And love you to pieces.
Yes, anytime, have me anytime. I want to be on there when I'm doing the reality show. That'll be fun.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
Your show. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, wonderful.
We'll be right back.
Hey, my name is Amy and I work at Lowe's. Summer's not over yet and grilling season is still going strong. Luckily, Lowe's has low prices on items across the store. Right now, stop by and get a Grillmaster 3-burner gas grill for just $169 or a Master Forge 2-burner patio grill for only $199. Then cool things off with a 50-foot never kink water hose, now just $26.98. Find these and more everyday low prices right now at Lowe's. Lowe's, let's build something together. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Hey, you guys, this is Dawn Robinson from En Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and I'm so happy and so proud to be a part of the World Peace True Purpose Movement. It's really something that the world needs right now because there's so many people that are downtrodden, and they don't believe in themselves anymore. They don't believe in government. They don't believe in the church. They don't believe in anything out there, and they need to look to themselves. And so what you guys are doing with this movement is so special because it's very strong. It's very supportive of people, and it just reminds them of how strong they really are. And yes, I can do this. And yes, I can persevere. And the short time that we have on this planet, I can do something great with my life. And I'll be okay. You know, it's like a voice of reason out there that just says to them that everything's going to be all right. So I really am proud to be a part of this.
Hi everyone, this is Barbara Hofmeister from the To Be Network, and today we want to talk about the first secret to success, and that is know what you want. Why is that important? Because if you are not clear what the outcome is that you desire, how can you expect to ever get there? Know what you want. Be crystal clear on what you want. Crystal clear. Don't say, I want better health, I want more money, more happiness. Because if I give you just $1, I can say, okay, you've got more money now, so your wish was granted. But that's not what you want, is it? You want much more than that. Much more. So be crystal clear on it. And in the next moment to be, I'm going to go further into that because this is really important that you know what you want. This is Barbara Hofmeister from www.barbarahofmeister.com. BarbaraHofmeister.com. See you soon. Bye.
Now for this week's lineup. Tomorrow night, I want you to join us Friday with Mom to Little Donna's and myself on the Ladies First Show, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And we do love our men, too. Saturday for entertainment time with the J. Rao Show. That is the one and only J. Rao, Mr. Elias, and myself. Hilarious. Release some of that natural healing. That natural healing serum for depression and stress at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. On Sunday mornings before you go to church, join us here on the serious side of the J. Rao Show with J. Rao, Mr. Elias, GOG, and myself. If you like the Washington Post, you'll love this and some. 10 Eastern, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And then our new show here on the TJRS Network, Sunday evening for Adam, Where Art Thou? With Kathleen Williams and co-host Jay Ryle, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, lifting up the men in our lives and around the world. On Tuesday mornings, join me for a moment of inspiration here on BTR on the True Purpose Development Show page or call 718-766-4227 to be inspired and uplifted. In just 30 minutes or less, it could change your life. 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Then on Wednesdays, join the team again for the J. Rao Show and Entertainment at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 Central Standard Time. Well, we can't forget our teammate, Mr. GOG, here on BTR. Very awesome show, one of the most popular shows here on BTR. For the latest, the greatest, and the most revelatory events, issues, and news topics, each Tuesday and Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back to our show.
Wow. Well, I'm sure after listening, you may now draw the conclusion of Don Robinson that your funky diva was really martyred for taking a stand when no one else did in all of her choices. She has continued to progress with a heart of gold, a humble nature, forgiving spirit, and the strength of, I'd like to say, Harriet Tubman, keeping her smiling face when seemingly the world totally misunderstood and passed judgment against her. Can I say, that doesn't surprise me? It really doesn't. Remember Michael Jackson? Exactly. Well, let this be a lesson to all of you that are listening, that you cannot judge a book by its cover, ever. Pass no judgment to anyone, lest you have to pay by living in their shoes. With that said, we're going to step out for a brief break here. Another hit from In Vogue, Hold On. I know you know that one. That's one of my favorites. It was the first single which was released in radio in late February 1990 and became a crossover pop hit, reaching number 2 on Billboard's Hot 100 Singles chart and number 1 on both the R&B Singles and Hot Dance Music and Club Play charts. It later went to number 5 in the UK and became a hit in Europe. Here's Hold On.
enjoyed the show tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to download, listen, and share on your iPod and iTunes, as well as follow me here on BTR, Facebook, and Twitter, LinkedIn as well. Additionally, follow BG True Purpose on Twitter and the Global World Food True Purpose Movement on Facebook. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia, your talk show host, executive producer for the True Purpose Development Show, your True Purpose Life Coach here each week with a mission and purpose to help you step by step to fruition to realize your life's true purpose, a life of total fulfillment in mind, body, soul, and spirit, which is what you are. Have a great and fantastic week. I love you.
Tonight, I'm at your eyes. just wanna show you how much I appreciate you. Wanna show you how much I'm dedicated to you. Wanna show you how much I will forever be true. Wanna show you how much you got your girl feeling good. Wanna show you how much you understood. Wanna show you how much I value what you say. Not only are you loyal, you're patient with me, babe. Wanna show you how much I really care about your heart. Never say how it used to be.
Tonight I'm gonna put my Just your stuff. No clue, no math, no. So I'm getting